half of We the People Radio, or shall I call it acronyms you didn't know existed that probably describe you. I'm going to rename the show.
If they don't, we'll make new ones up.
Well, somebody's making new ones up right now. We're like, I can't even type fast enough. Oh, my gosh. So let's see. Back to the beginning. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name's Bill Cundiff.
In case you want to stalk us or support us or whatever.
Our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, just north of Redding. Go up and see them if you're looking for a new tractor or mower or implements, or you need work on your tractor or ag equipment. They can do it all up there. They're also the new Ego lawn care dealer. Everything electric. They got riders. They got all the handheld equipment. They're not set up yet, but it's coming. It should be set up in the next week or two, but look for that big change up there. But you can go up and see them, or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226, or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
There you go. Okay. Well, I have never in 13 years had to update so much stuff on the website during the show. For real. I'm like, man, I'm like looking all this stuff up. So I've got the minor attraction. Let's see. Hold on. Let's see. Let's go back. I got, all right. So I started with the article that you and I spoke about yesterday, Sharon. It's a great article, and I really hope you can get Jennifer Bylick to come on with us, because I would really, really like to go through that with her. Her research was amazing on who's behind the transgender ideology. And this was back in February of 2018. It's an article that was in the Federalist, and it's listed in our discussion items from today's show. Anyway, it's amazing, and you really ought to read it. It seems like 2018, a lot's happened. I guarantee you 99% of the people out there don't know who is behind all of this and what's driving it. It blew my mind, and I've tried for all these years to try to get her on here. And then, not to miss the point of all this, gender and sex are not the same. They are just not the same. Gender is a category that morphs over time and has for many, many years. Female used to be mom, wears a dress, stays at home, doesn't work, that kind of thing. And then mom, you know, wore pants, went to work, did some stuff. So gender has changed over time. And because we kind of lean toward the Puritan thing, having sex on forms, male or female, where it said sex, they took the dirty word sex off the forms and called it gender. And then over time, sex and gender became the same thing. Nobody, including me, looked it up in the dictionary, and we all thought gender and sex were the same thing. But gender is not biology. Sex is. So when they come at you with the multiple genders, there's like 7,000 genders, and I'm a this or that or the other thing, the answer is, okay, but there are still only two sexes. The end. The end. And there's no argument with that. And I've had so much fun with that over the last few years. I wish I knew that lady's name who called me. It was brilliant. And I'm like, you, because she told us. She goes, you're fighting. You right-wingers, you're fighting this all wrong. And I was like, what do you mean? She goes, well, you're arguing with them about the genders. The gender isn't sex. And I was like, what? Yeah, look it up.
Oh, yeah, this, and like many
women. Amazing.
Many things, women. The parties all fall down on their knees on this stuff. They just fall. It's very vexing. You know, it's
well, nobody wants to be demonized. And I guess I've never, you know, it's kind of fun. Like, I've never, now I'm turf. I was reading about the turf thing. So I'm kind of laughing because your last thing, well, okay, so not to skip the minor attracted persons, if you haven't heard of that. The Open Map Community, this is from their own website, is a safe, inclusive, and democratic space for minor attracted persons to discuss their sexuality, rights, and experiences. Oh, I bet that section's something. Learn about the map definition, community guidelines. I'm sure there are no guidelines. Blog policy and how to join or donate. Like, what the heck? So apparently pedophiles now have their own website, and they call it a thing that sounds like
Get out. It's legitimate.
Well, like, it's like a travel agency. It's the map community. So, you know, yeah. And then TERF, T-E-R-F, is the acronym for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminists. Bill, you didn't know.
I did not know.
Bill's a TERF.
Huh?
Yeah.
You're both radical feminists.
We're both radical feminists now. I was like, well, how did that happen?
You both become radical rad femmes for short. You become
rad femmes. Is that what it's called? Okay.
The rad femmes, yep. Yeah, because we do not accept that men can never be women. We don't. We never will. We'll never identify them as women. We'll never allow them as women, and we'll not allow them to take our rights as women. So rad femmes do not believe that people can change sex, and they do not believe that men can be women, no matter how many hormones they take, surgeries they have, or dresses they put on.
Yeah, because, yeah, you know, it's interesting. I always was kind of curious about that. I was like, well, where are the feminists in this whole thing? And then, well, and here you are. But where's the divide? Like, in the world of feminists that actually are activist, like, you know, or...
Well, let's talk about one. Let's talk about one. Let's talk about Planned Parenthood, right?
Oh, yeah,
let's talk about
those guys.
Okay, so Planned Parenthood, for years, has been the backstop feminist org that you must be a member of as a woman, that you need to vote Democrat because you need to protect your right to, you know, sovereignty over your own body and not be forced to have a baby if you don't want to have one. And so tons of us have been members of Planned Parenthood, donated to Planned Parenthood, and suddenly started receiving mailers that said, hey, we really need you to donate because pregnant people need care. Pregnant people.
You're like, wait.
which people would those be that get pregnant exactly? And, you know, and then they started sending things like people who menstruate. But which people would those be? Exactly. That,
really?
Like, all,
you really
all
can't
sudden,
say it, can you?
Nope. The word woman got stripped out. And so I know the Planned Parenthood head here, and I'm in Santa Barbara, California, so I went to her, and I said, hey, what is this? You know, like, this language is dehumanizing. What are you doing? You know, what? And she looked at me with this huge, glassy-eyed stare and said, oh, no, my staff and I, we all believe it. We want to be inclusive, and there are some people. Okay, so this is, how did we get to this place? Well, because some men looked up at Planned Parenthood, you know, claiming to have period symptoms and all sorts of things and, you know, want appropriate care. You don't dare tell them that they're men, darlings. But at the same time, some girls who have decided to opt out of womanhood, because apparently it looks like crap when you're young, you know, it's sort of rape culture, you know, dick pics on social media's intro. It's sort of really, really toxic now for the young women coming up to become women. So they're having their breasts off and becoming they. And when they become theys and they suddenly get pregnant and they've decided to identify as men, then it's offensive to call them men. So now we say that some men can get pregnant, which is absolute bollocks.
Because they're still women.
They're childbearing persons.
Women. Yeah.
So I poked into this. I poked into it. Why did Planned Parenthood walk away from, you know, what, is there no more money in abortion rights? I mean, just because Roe's over now, it's like, are you done? Are you going to close up shopping? No, they're now the biggest distributor of puberty blockers given to adolescents in the country. Turns out there's huge money in giving out puberty blockers to kids. Now, can I ask both of you, did you think puberty was optional for you? Did you think at some point when you were like...
I didn't even know what puberty was. I went to Catholic school.
Okay, but you know, like...
We didn't even know that. We didn't have the pink movie or the blue movie until public school.
It's not optional. Let me help you.
No, it's not an optional event. It's an event.
I mean, you might not have enjoyed it, right? None of us, I don't think, really enjoyed it, but... No one told me, hey, come over and step into this line and I'll give you some pills and you won't have to go through that. You can stay adolescent forever. Did you ever?
Well,
the
funny part is when you're a kid that age, you don't even know that it is puberty because everybody that you hang out with is having it at the same time. So as far as you know,
everybody's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're all awkward together, right?
Yes.
It's just a
collection
moment.
It isn't Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah. I mean, you're not going there for a birthday party. I mean, it's just a wow. So
yeah, it's all awkward together. So what they do now is they give you these drugs, and one of the drugs is called Lupron, right? And Lupron is a chemical castration drug.
Oh.
And it will slow you down, Now, it will also turn your bones into osteoarthritis by the time you're 20.
Oh.
There's a reason you need to go through puberty, but there's this theory, this butchery, Frankenstein, crazy medicine, which is, oh, your child is special. It's a unicorn. It's decided it's transgender. Let's immediately put them on puberty blockers, and then let's immediately schedule them for surgery. And everyone swears that there are no transgender surgeries happening, but I noticed that because every state that decides to ban them, there's this massive bloody push by the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, a whole bunch of these orgs, right?
Yeah.
They are like, oh, God, transgender care is life-saving. It's affirming.
Life-affirming care.
It's Frankensteining. It is absolute Frankensteining. It is putting your kids on hormones that they're not supposed to take, put them on puberty blockers, which there's no such thing. It's only really sexual thwarting development drugs. And then we'll schedule them for surgery. And again, when they cut their breasts off or their penises off, you're not going to be growing that out. That's not going to come back. It's not like a tattoo. We can't go get that lasered off.
Nope.
Right?
Yep.
Or
yep.
Piercing.
The junk drawer is
like
not
clothes.
Real. Well, I'm kind of curious. Okay, so I got a couple of questions here. So on the Planned Parenthood side, because Planned Parenthood has kind of morphed into the we're going to handle your sexual education without your parents, not only without their involvement, but without their consent of any kind. We don't need them. You can come here and we'll keep all your secrets. Is this part of that?
Yes, and so are the schools. Same thing with the schools. The same set of activists got to the schools. And so a lot of school boards have implemented these policies, school districts in California. This ought to make you happy, Aaron. In California, because we've had a longer runway with transgender stuff because we're early adopters, right? We do everything first,
yeah,
right?
That,
including
yeah.
the bad
mm-hmm.
stuff, right? You know, sometimes it doesn't work out so well for us, but we at least try everything first. We've been at this a very, very long time. And because we've been at it a long time, we've had a lot more experience. And last year in California, I watched about 4 or 5 different school districts absolutely erupt into chaos over this, right? Where parents who are nice, lovely people, not right-wing nut jobs, you know, by any sense of the word, right? Very nice liberal people suddenly woke up to discover that their child is being socialized to be transgender at school and everyone's being told not to tell the parents.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
What is this?
Exactly.
You know, and there's all these bogus statistics that get out there of like, oh, trans kids are more likely to commit suicide. Would you rather have a live daughter or a dead son?
And
you know, what would you rather have, right?
What kind of an argument is that, besides effective?
Oh,
well, how do they explain that 30, 40 years ago, this was never heard of, and kids grew up and became productive citizens?
So
and,
funny, we
and,
talked about that yesterday.
You know,
it's like, do you remember those?
And now all of a sudden it's this huge thing.
They?
Yeah, yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't know anybody, and I don't know anybody that knew anybody that had these kind of issues.
I'm gonna channel the other side. It's because they were all repressed and fearful, and repressed and fearful. Those are the only two I got.
So after they got over being repressed and fearful, they grew up to be productive.
Suddenly, there were tons of them because now they weren't afraid anymore.
Yeah.
Is that the answer?
Yeah, that is it.
Yes.
Again,
I'm getting better at this.
Did we know strange kids in school? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We did. Did we know kids that were having some developmental issues and, you know, or behavioral issues, and they were all put in special ed, which special ed was like where some really smart and hyper kids kind of went to die, right? Did we know that? Yes. Did we know kids that probably were homosexual and absolutely terrified to admit it to anyone? They might have been it to a peer, right, that they felt safe with, but knew they weren't going to tell the parents and knew they weren't going to tell anybody else, and it was just not safe, right, for them
right.
to be that way.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, we did know those people. Did we know people that woke up and decided that, hey, I'm a girl, but, you know, today I feel like a boy?
No.
No.
Yeah, no.
No.
They weren't, and they weren't repressed because I don't know about y'all, but I'm a Gen X, and I grew up in the 80s where we all had punch haircuts and the men wore makeup and high heels, and David Bowie was an absolute freaking icon, right? And none of us were under any illusion, right? Annie Lennox dressed like a guy, right? And was very masculine presenting, right? None of us were under any illusions that these were men or women, right? We knew what they were. They were gender bending like crazy, playing with norms, I guess is what you call it, right? They were just playing with norms.
Yeah, you look at most of the bands from that time, you know, the weird outfits they wore and all that stuff. And, nobody thought that they were secretly women or secretly men or that they would want to trade that. They might act like... You're right. We have seen this for a long time. It just wasn't.
We were good with it.
It wasn't something that we had to, quote, believe. That's the thing is you must believe, you must support, and you must shut up. And when you get to shut up, I think that's where everybody's head explodes. We have to take a really quick break, and then we'll come right back. Our guest is Sharon Byrne. She is the executive director of WOLF, the Women's Liberation Front, just in case I forgot to say that at the beginning, which I did. You can find all of this, including the commercial-free archive, because you'll probably need to send this to some people later. At wethepeopleradio.us. Ruh-roh. That was Billy Joel, The Stranger, by the way, which is a great song.
We all have a face that we hide away forever, and we take them out and show ourselves when everyone has gone. Some are satin, some are steel, some are silk and some are leather. They're the faces of the stranger, but we love to try them on.
I used to sleep at the foot of Old Glory and awake in the dawn's early light. But much to my surprise, when I opened my eyes, I was a victim of the Great Compromise.
Yeah, the Great Compromise. And that's kind of where the feminists have gone with all of this. I mean, it's not working for them, but... I don't know.
The biggest trick that was played on feminism, right, was to tell us that we need to be intersectional, and that meant censoring men in our feminism, and that is just the biggest...
Wait, say that again. Wait, what is that? Let's go back. What is that?
Okay, so there was a big trick pulled on feminism about 15 years ago, which was we have to be intersectional.
What does that mean?
And that means that we have to take into account color, and we have to take into account, you know, people's experiences and people of different sexualities and all that. And what that basically was a message to women of, yet again, could you put yourself second and everyone else first? That's been a trick that's been pulled on feminists since the first women started getting up and agitating for the right to vote, right? Can you put everybody else first? And it's like, no, absolutely bloody not. But yes, you two are radical feminists, and radical feminists are the only ones left standing that say, no, I'm sorry, don't accept men in dresses as women. You can't make me. I won't do it, and I won't be given my rights to them. And no, they can't use my bathroom and play on the sports team and tell me that they're a woman and have all the same rights. But no, absolutely not.
And it really isn't going the other way. You really don't pretending to be men. And because people would, I was channeling the opposition in my mind. So I can hear people say, well, there are women trying to be men, and they're taking over men's spaces. But that just isn't happening. Functionally, that's not taking place.
I think we ought to pull a Monty Python stunt, right? Like in the opening of The Life of Brian, right? All those, this is hilarious, right? A bunch of Monty Python actors who are actually men, and they are playing women who are dressed up in men's gear so that they can go to the stoning. Do you remember that scene?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And Don Cleese looks around and goes, are there any women here? And all the men pretending to be women, pretending to be men, go, oh, no women here. Right? So that one comes to mind to me in terms of, like, I think all of us as women, like, in order to get everyone else's attention, because, like I say, rad femmes have been screaming about this for the last 15 years, but no one listens to rad femmes. I mean, you know, you guys don't wake up on Sunday morning and go, let me just go pick up some rad femme journals and see what they're saying. No one does that, right? No one does that. So, you know, that's the problem. Is can you get a megaphone loud enough? I think the women in the UK have put together a hella coalition of lesbian academicians, feminists, and just everyday women who've gotten thoroughly disgusted and pissed off and they go every Sunday to a place called Speaker's Corner in various cities, but mostly in London, and they do an event called Let Women Speak. And basically what happens is when they do that, they invite women to get up at the microphone and speak, and they are usually surrounded by a bunch of men, and those men are very often either in dresses and makeup, or they are wearing all black and balaclavas. Does this sound familiar to you?
Huh.
Do you recognize them?
Yeah.
Seen them before? Yeah. And those men shove the women, try to beat them up, try to drown them out, try to shut them down. And it's taken the Metropolitan Police in London quite some time to get their act together and realize that this is actually very, very dangerous, right? Because at first when they, you know, sort of look the other way because like, oh, trans rights, you don't dare speak up against that, you don't dare police against it. Now they're starting to realize, no, these men are on here to bloody some women. So the woman who started all that, which is Kelly J. King, took that tour around the world last year and went to Melbourne, where terrible things happened, and she also went to New Zealand, where she was almost killed. Almost killed. And I think at that point, a lot of women around the world started waking up, certainly across the Anglosphere, so Australia, New Zealand, United States, Canada, okay. We all started waking up and started talking to each other across Twitter and X, right, and collaborating and starting to organize, right, starting to push back. But, my God, you can't get a media story that favors you. I mean, I was part of throwing a press conference for women's sports in Roanoke College last September when the Roanoke College women's swim team in Virginia was like, they're going to put a guy on the team. The college made the decision to put a guy on the team over these women's objectives. And so they had a press conference, and we helped them pull it together with several other women's orgs like Independent Women's Voices and Women's Declaration International, and we all did a press conference. And the local media there carried the story correctly, which was, you know, the women's swim team was upset. They're going to have to share a locker room with a guy who's pretending to be a girl, and that he was a mediocre male swimmer. And now he wants to be on the women's swim team, kind of like another one we know of, Leah Thomas, Will Thomas, who became Leah Thomas, so that they can break records and claim trophies that would otherwise
go
to girls.
Yeah,
right?
Because they're not good enough to compete in men's sports.
But that's a really good point, because the media covers Leah Thomas and
a lot,
you know, those type of stories. But, you know, it's funny, they don't cover the stories where there's trans rapes in women's prisons or pedophile attacks in women's bathrooms by trans. They don't cover those stories, but they cover...
So the UK papers were.
Yeah.
The UK papers were covering those. Now, and sometimes the American papers do too, but it's the framing. So we all know that that's a man in a woman's prison. And sometimes what we have learned is that the men who identify themselves as women in order to get the women's prison are usually the most violent sexual offenders of all.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so they're put in there with the women's prison. When something terrible happens, the news story that runs by the politically correct state-sponsored media these days, I guess, I don't know. In Canada, it is state-sponsored, but here, you know, I don't know what the issue is.
All
the
right.
story that runs is... transgender prisoner accused, you know, by fellow prisoner of rape, she declares that her sheeness is not the problem.
Yeah. What the hell is that?
Right? Work makes you free, right? Bad is good, right? I mean, it's like everything is in the upside down, right? So when we run these stories in the U.S., it's like, a bunch of women swimmers are bigots because they don't want to accept this poor little trans woman on their team.
Mm-hmm.
You
right,
know how that gets
right.
Frank?
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
okay.
They're all horrible haters. But honestly, this stuff a long time ago was part of our comedy. We should play for people that little minute of Life of Brian, just because this was, what, early 70s?
70s, yeah.
Early 70s.
And, too, right? 86 Life of Brian.
When?
Life of Brian, I think, came out in 82.
All right, well, look. All right, so here's the clip we've been talking about in case, and I put it on the website.
Purely to bright hours must reflect such a divergence of interest within its power base.
Agreed. Francis? Yeah. I think Judith's point of view is very valid, Rach. Provided the movement never forgets that it is the inalienable right of every man
or woman
to rid himself
or herself.
Agreed. Thank you, brother.
Or sister.
Where was I?
I think you finished.
Oh, right.
Furthermore, it is the birthright of every man
or woman.
Why don't you shut up about women, Stone? You're putting us off.
Women have a perfect right to play a part in our movement, Reg.
Why are you always on about women, Stan?
I want to be one.
What?
I want to be a woman. From now on, I want you all to call me Loretta.
What?
It's my right as a man.
But why do you want to be Loretta, Stan?
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies.
Don't you oppress me.
I'm not oppressing you, Stan. You haven't got a womb. Where's the fetus going to gestate? You're going to keep it in a box?
Here, I've got an idea. Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, not having a womb, which is nobody's fault, not even the Romans, but that he can have the right to have babies.
Good idea, Judith. We shall fight the oppressors for your right to have babies, brother. Sister, sorry. What's the point?
What?
What's the point of fighting for his right to have babies when he can't have babies? It is symbolic of our struggle against oppression.
Symbolic of his struggle against reality.
My name is Lulu.
Yeah. 1979 British film called The Life of Brian with the Monty Python guys. And
so ahead of its time. You could never get away with that today. That would be...
But it is. They're all the lingo is there. It's really weird. It's like a playbook, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't oppress me.
And that's... And yet it's meant to be funny, right? It's meant to be screamingly funny. And did you catch... The two key catches in there is it's his right as a man to be a woman. Did you catch that?
Right
as a man to have babies because he wants them. And so the other guy finally, you know, Judith sort of navigates them, you know, to where it needs to be. And they said, fine, we shall fight the oppressor by saying that it's his right to want to have babies, even though he can't possibly, right? So... And that is exactly where we are.
That's exactly what happened.
It's his right to be a woman. Yep. It's his right to be a woman, even though he can't be. But he has the right to be a woman, and therefore he can enter your locker room, your bathroom. And again, it's not been as big a deal in the U.S. The U.S. is a much bigger country. But in the U.K., a lot of women started encountering men in dresses jacking off in the bathrooms. And they're like, okay, this is completely wrong. This isn't about protecting some poor little lost creature, you know, that was born in the wrong body. This is men's kink. And, you know, they're just getting off on it in the bathroom at women's expenses, and any woman who says something about it is a bigot.
Yeah, it's the hater.
Who could design a better men's right movement than this? It's the most brilliant men's right movement I've ever seen.
Well, the woman who called me and told me that, you know, there might be a lot of genders, but there's only two sexes, she said, she goes, this is the return of the patriarchy, and this is how they're going to do it. And
I
was like,
the new patriarchy.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the new patriarchy. They're even talking about artificial wombs, transplanting wombs into men, and then having babies put in wombs outside the female body and born that way. I mean, yeah, it's an absolute erasure of women. It's a disempowering of them and an erasure of them.
That and the other thing that we didn't really mention that is part of that article and very much part of this, and we've talked about it on other shows, this is the transhumanist dream.
Yep.
You know, let's take people apart and put them back together in a way that we think using technology and, like a fake womb, stuff like that. We can improve on the human, you know, let's reinvent them. So here are the clinics. Here are the drugs. Here are the surgeries. Imagine the money. Just zillions of dollars that will be spent to do all of this and make all of this, you know, little dream of theirs come true while they experiment on people. And so these kids with the puberty blockers, to go back to that, there's enough science on the osteoporosis, you know, the outcome of the bone weakness. What kind of lifespan are these people going to have?
Oh, God, it's going to be awful. It's going to be, I mean, that, and again, you know, okay, we also talked about something else, which I think we should share with your listening audience, right? That the same reason that the medical industry wants to prey on young kids that are a bit confused about who they are at the moment is the same reason that the Army recruits men at 18, right? Because they don't know they can die. They have no sense of mortality, and it's because their brains haven't finished forming. Human brain does not really finish forming until 25. Believe it or not, it does not. And so the final stage of human brain development is actually intense socialization. That is what builds the neurons for those final stages of development. So the young people are absolutely compelled to socialize and are insanely driven by the need for social acceptance, right? It's just like the worst thing to not be socially acceptable. So when you first declare yourself as trans because, you know, you're a bit confused and, you know, trying to figure out who you are and sort out your identity and all that, you get love bombed like crazy. Oh, it's the best thing ever. Wonderful. Now, the minute you decide at sort of 24 that this was actually a horrible mistake and you've got to go and undo it, if you're a woman, your voice drops permanently. You screwed up your skeletal system forever. You're probably never going to have babies. If you cut your breasts off, they're not going to grow back, right? You really butchered yourself something horrible. And even after, like, departing testosterone after 5 years, some of these women will never go back to what they were before they started this whole trans nightmare, right? At the moment they decide that they are going to detrans, is what we call detransition, they are instantly turned on, burned at the stake as witches, reviled, and exiled to social Siberia. And, of course, insurance pays for none of the detrans process, even though it pays happily for the transition stuff. Now, that in the United States is where I think big progress could be made. If you could scare the crap out of the insurance companies and say, look at what you're doing. You're funding the Frankensteining and butchering of children, and you will get your pantsuit off you. And they stop paying for this. I think a lot of this demand goes away overnight.
Sure. Well, so let's say you're out there and you tuned into this and wondered what the heck, but you know, you're listening and thinking, well, I don't care about this. This doesn't affect me. I don't know anybody. I'm not going to know anybody. You're going to pay for it. We're all going to pay for it because none of these things are a one and done. You don't take puberty blockers and then like antibiotics and then go on with your life. Like you're on drugs forever.
Forever. And you screwed yourself up. Right? A young man that cuts off his penis to pretend to be a woman, he's not going to grow that back.
No.
Right?
And there are multiple surgeries. This also isn't a one and done with that. The surgeries go on and on and on and on. And then, you know, you've got the plastic surgery. So now we've got the Adam's apple situation. And we've got the facial hair situation. And now our hands are too big. And
think about the parent that got pressured into this, right? That was like told by the doctor, your kid's going to die. You know, your kid's going to kill itself, right?
If you don't let him become somebody else. Right.
Yeah. So, you know what? When I was 12, Aaron.
You did the what?
When I was 12.
Yeah.
My name was Lucy. I was born a Lucy, and I decided at 12 that the world was not ready for that girl. I don't know why, but I just couldn't fit in. I couldn't find a peer group. I wasn't really happy. It was just miserable. And I came home, and I changed my name to my middle name, which is Sharon. And my parents were like, you're going to what? I was like, yep, you will call me Sharon from now on. And it was really difficult, and everybody hated it, and it caused a lot of problems in the family, but they dealt with it. I just changed my freaking name, right? This is very common with kids. Kids try on identities, right? Kids try different things. They try different ways to get social acceptance. But we don't immediately, you know, thank God my parents didn't go, you know, I think you might be a boy. Let's take you to the doctor and get your stuff off, right? Thank God. But today they would. Right? Today they'd be told, oh, I think your kid's trans. You better get them, you know, in there right now and get all this stuff done to them because any parent that's gone down that path after all that horrible pressure, man, they're going to, you know how this is, right? Psychologically, you got to then double down. You can't look yourself in the eye and go, man, if I would have just stopped here for a second and questioned all this.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, you see it all the time. People say, well, you know, my kid thinks he's Superman, but I don't throw him off a building to see if he can fly.
Exactly.
It's, you know, there are a lot of examples of that. Oh, my gosh, it's time to take another break. Darn it. All right, our guest is Sharon Byrne from the Women's Liberation Front, and this has gone way too fast, but there's always more. All right, you're listening to We the People, and you can find us at
The People Radio.
We the People Radio.
.us.
There you go.
Ow! Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think
funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams on which I'm dying are the best I ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Mad world.
Mad world. Yes, mad world indeed. So Sharon, we did have somebody who called in who wanted to know how to get a hold of you. So what's the best way to reach out to your organization and to get in touch with you?
Oh, easy as pie, right? So womensliberationfront.org, all one word. And there's definitely a contact us link, right, and a get informed link, and I will see those emails. So please do, right? I'd love to be able to talk to as many people as possible. And, you know, we are a feminist org. I want to be very, very clear about that. But we are a feminist org with kind of wide lens, right? We absolutely hate the gender ideology stuff. But we're not really thrilled with porn culture, human trafficking, rape culture, any of that stuff, right? So there's a whole lot of things we'd like to fix, right, for women and girls, you know, going forward. This is just but one arm of that fight, but it's a big one. The gender ideology stuff is really, really bad in terms of the erasure of women. It's really bad.
It is really bad. I just, who would have ever thought, I guess if you live long enough, things do go backwards, but that was so, finding rights for women and girls with sports and work and all of those different things was so hard fought for such a long time. Who would have thought in 30 years, 40 years, all of a sudden we would, like, the people who fought for it would kind of abandon it at the same time and support the dismantling?
I think that's difficult. You know, you've mentioned Jennifer Bilek's work, and I'm a huge fan of hers, and she had written extensively about this. Like, how did this get underway? Well, like many things in America, hugely funded, right? And, you know, the Pritzkers put a ton of money into it, the Hyatt family, right? They own the Hyatt hotels, and, you know, they're sort of got a $15 billion net worth. You know, Jennifer Pritzker is a former man, now living as a woman, and, you know, the other Pritzker is governor of Illinois presently, and they put huge money into this. And when they put money into it, what they do is give it to these boards that, you know, used to be for women's rights, used to be for gay and lesbian rights, and they've turned them in this direction, right, and made them believe that trans rights is everything. And then those orgs call up their legislators and call up legislators with whom they are paid to lobby, right? ACLU is in the tank for this too, by the way. They're in the same, we fight the ACLU all the time. You know, that they're in the tank for this as well. So that's who's pushing this agenda. And it's a shocker for those of us that used to be Planned Parenthood members and once upon a time thought the ACLU did great things. We're in that upside down, right? Where, you know, bad is good and
yeah,
is freedom and all of, you know, right? So it's like, we're just in this really big upside down.
Well,
so,
there you can't say that, you know, well, I fit into this tidy box because, honestly, well, now that Bill's become a radical feminist, you know, all bets are off.
Yeah, you don't fit. Yeah, this is one of those issues. We find this a lot with women's issues in particular. We find an interesting group gets to the table that, you know, just politically, who ends up at Wolf's door? It tends to be a lot of progressive women who are extremely upset that their party is just carrying the water for this, right? And then you can't even have conversations about this without being told that you're a transphobe. Okay, who the heck is a transphobe? No one, right? Like, okay, I'm an arachnophobe. If I see a spider, I'm going to go climb the walls. But if I saw a trans guy in the street, I'd be like, whatever. You know, like, you're not afraid of anything, right? Like, you know, that implies, you know, you're so afraid of these people.
Does that mean we have to go get rid of all our queen records? You know?
No, absolutely not, right? And again, you know, there was no doubt Freddie was a guy, right? Like, we're all pretty clear Freddie was a guy, are we not?
Yeah, Bill and I were talking about that. It's like, Okay, Freddie Mercury was a guy, but he wore eyeshadow and had, you know, I mean, he was very, there were a lot of feminine characteristics about him, but there was no confusion about whether he was a man or a woman when you got right down to it. Now, was he a stereotypical man? I mean, was he going to be a lumberjack? Probably not. Although, you know, what were they, the YMCA guys? There was a policeman, a fireman.
Yeah.
He could be a lumberjack.
The village people.
Yeah, the village people. Yeah, he could be a lumberjack. But there was a lot. I don't think people really, I mean, yes, there's always people who have problems with that, but I think most people were pretty okay. I mean, we got over it a while ago because it wasn't going away. But to say that you have to accept that men can now be women, or you hate gay people or lesbians, that makes you, you hate everybody who's not heterosexual, that's not fair. And that's kind of what gets in your face.
That is exactly what gets in your face. And there are a lot of groups out there, especially on Twitter X, right, where you'll see a lot of LGB groups, and they are proudly trying to divorce themselves as rapidly as possible
from the T's.
Nonsense. Yep, they are trying very, and they've been very clear about it. They're like, those are Spice and Straight. They're
Spice
not us.
Straight,
you know, like,
that.
Please don't confuse us. Like, all we want to do is just live our lives in peace and be able to get married. That's not us, right? Those people are whacked up, and they are, you know, like, they do feel like these people are mentally unhinged. You know, my daughter works in a, you know, in a sex shop, right? She's a really cool cat. I love her. She's such a hip, cool person. And she had a friend, you know, a couple friends, and they were married, and they decided to play at being trans. So the wife was going to suddenly declare herself a guy, and the guy was going to declare himself a girl. So the wife shows up one day, and my daughter's working, you know, and she's in a bikini with a mustache drawn on her face. And my daughter's looking at her kind of funny, like, what are you doing? And the girlfriend goes, no one gets my gender, and I'm just so pissed. Like, I know, I just... And at that point, my daughter lost all empathy for any of this crap, right? Because she just knew right then, she's like, they're just Spicy Straight. They're just playing. This isn't real. They're not...
Yeah.
They're not confused about who they are. You know, they're just playing, right?
But we've dragged children into it. And once you do that, and then, you know, you and I were talking about Walt Heyer. I'll add that interview to the long list of things for today's show. We interviewed him years ago, and he was a man that way back in the day, when this very first started, became a woman, thinking that his life would be better. Turned out he was molested by his uncle. He was dressed as a little girl by his grandmother when he was a toddler, and just kind of grew up with a screwed up view of who he was and how his sexuality worked, and then realized after 6 years and some psychiatric help that he needed a psychiatrist. He is very open about that. You need a psychiatrist if you think you are the wrong sex, and you better find out if there is some underlying thing before you make changes you can't reverse. And man, the trans community hates him.
Yes, they do. They do. And again, you've got to look at who's the money that's pushing them.
Well, it blows their whole narrative because he really did it. They can't say, you know, you're some conservative activist who was, you know, hung up on, you know, whatever. No, he actually was there. He went the whole route and became a man again. Switched back and became a man and said, wait, I'm actually a man. I'm not a woman. I just needed some mental health assistance. And that could have solved my problem a long time ago without blowing up my world.
Right? I mean, you know, and again, he, in his particular, we talked a little bit about this too, in his particular case, as a child, he had been hit with a dress, in a dress, right? He was forced to put on a dress. He was beaten while he was in that dress, and he was sexually molested at the same time.
Yep.
And you can rewire the brain when you do stuff like that. And he had to go work through all that, right? As part of this whole, you know, trying to live as a woman in a dress, right? And realizing that it was all about a bit of perverted sexuality for him that had been put on him as a kid. I mean, he had to go do a lot of work, right, to get through the other side of how did, you know, because I think normal men don't just wake up one day and go, I need to put on a dress now. I don't think that. Just like normal women don't wake up one day and go, I think I'm going to go have my breasts off and become a bae. We just don't do that.
I don't really understand. You know, you've said the they thing a few times. I mean, we've all heard this and kind of, I mean, a lot of us have kind of joked about it. But I don't understand the they idea. Like, well, obviously, and I think it's Piers Morgan, like, went kind of crazy on somebody. Like, they is multiple people and you're one person and, you know, it's a part of speech. And actually, I really enjoyed that. But where does that...
It's the butchery of language, but it does, I will tell you that the aspect of trans, other than loss of women's rights, that bothers me the most, is that I see a generation of women who are coming up, and some of them are in Hollywood even, they're very, very young, and they have decided that being a woman is a lousy freaking lot, that you get raped, and your rapist doesn't get prosecuted, that your dad can do things to you, and nobody does anything to him, and that you get, you know, solicited with dick pics, and you get all kinds of awful treatment as a young woman, you know, older girl, and you decide this is the devil and I don't want to do it, but hey, I've got this exit door that I can take where I can become a they and I can have my breasts off and then nobody will do these things to me again. It's a false sense of safety and it's opting out of womanhood. And so there's people who are like, don't you want to ban this stuff? And I said, I think I'd rather fix womanhood. Like, how do we make that an attractive proposition again, right?
But, exactly.
You know, I mean, how do we make that so that, you know, you don't dread becoming a woman because it's just such a lousy thing, right? And I think those of us that are older that walked around and I guess what is now the historic heyday of women's rights in the United States, you know, are shocked that younger women not only don't have it better, but actually would like to escape womanhood altogether because it's just that crappy. I never thought about
doing that. But I don't think... Yeah, no, that never would have crossed my mind. And I don't... I can't imagine. Well, I guess if everybody is supposed to genuflect, maybe it is better. But I was going to say, I can't imagine your life is easier as a pretend man. Because what are they? They're trans.
They're not men. See, they're not becoming men. They're not doing that. What they're doing is declaring themselves non-binary, so that you can't say that they're male or female.
Non-binary people.
They're making themselves a third species, and they're hoping to evade sexual assault by it. That's terrible.
But what about the women that identify as like he, him? I mean, aren't they trying?
We've only seen a few of those, right? And typically, I find it tends to be a bit of costumery, right? You know, like. It tends to be a bit of costumery where they play at it and then they eventually go back to being women. But we just don't see that rush. And here's what we don't see. We don't see a bunch of women saying, hey, I'm a he now. Put me in the man's prison. Right?
Yeah, right. Could you imagine?
Put me in the boxing ring with a guy. Right? I'm a man now. Put me on the Dallas Cowboys football team. Right?
Right.
But we don't see that.
No.
That isn't happening.
No.
It's only the other. It's a play for mediocre males and sexually deviant males to get into women's spaces and to dominate women's sports.
Yeah, and that should be the big red flag. When you don't see the other side doing it and you only see the men doing it, then I think that kind of points to a mental health thing more than anything else.
Well, I mean, you have to send off a bunch of women out of your bathroom, are you, at the moment?
No.
Yeah, no, probably not. So, in our last 15 seconds, we want to thank you for coming on. We will probably chat with you again, I'm thinking, because this is a very loaded topic. So, let's plan on doing this again in the future.
Thank you very much for coming
on. Our guest has been Sharon Byrne. She is with the organization WOLF, the Women's Liberation Front. You can find everything at WeThePeopleRadio.us.